Welcome to House of Bread Podcast. This is Pastor Jonathan Hansen speaking at Abundant Life Church.
Perception changes everything. So, and we've been saying all year last year, we said some things like becoming what God sees. The best perception to look through anything is through His eyes. Now that's a hard thing to do because all we see is pain and struggles and things that we went through. But God has done something pretty phenomenal. And He chooses not to meet your need. In some ways, He chooses not to. You know why? Not always, but in some ways, He chooses not to. Now, before you hurt me, He wants your brothers and sisters to help meet that need. He wants you to get the credit for it. He wants you to be the glory of God as you fully alive. The glory of God is their Son. The glory of God, Jesus Christ, was the glory of God. So Jesus revealed the Father to the earth. Does that make sense? So He wants you to reveal who the Father is to the earth. So there's all these people out there hurting. And I know you're hurting. The enemy's only tool is perception. His biggest fear is you finding out who you are. If you find out really who you are, He'll start loving people in a way that he can't stop you. He's jealous from you from day one. I want to be like you. He can't be like you. All He can do is twist. All He can do is just change things just a little bit in your life, and you start focusing on your hurts and your pains. If we can't get over what we're facing, we will never be able to help others. And guess what? You'll never be qualified. Since when has God given you something when you were qualified anyways? You didn't become a parent because you knew how to be a parent. You didn't get a husband or a wife because you knew how to be a husband or a wife, did you? Did you get a job when you didn't ever done it before because you knew how to do it? No, God always gives you things that you don't know what the hell you're doing anyways. And He likes you in that place. He likes you in the place of having to lean on Him. Why? I'm not even touching my notes. Because He wants to relate to you. You were born for one thing. Because God wanted relationship. And He wants a relationship with you. That is the only thing that matters. And you think it's all about our stuff. Oh, I got this problem, I got that problem. This dream got blown away, this, that. We got it all backwards. And if we can just, I'm going to just be a little open right now. Everybody I see that's struggling right now is because they're asking the wrong question right now. They're asking what? What do I do here? How do I do this? What do I do with this? What do I do with that? They're not asking who. Who is the right question to ask? It's who am I here for? Who am I connected with? Who have you sent me in this life? Everyone I see not struggling right now, even though they have ways they could be, is because they're not worried about the what. They're still facing the same whats as we are, if not worse, but they're not worried about that part. They're thinking about relationship. They're first and foremost, they're thinking about, is my relationship right with Him? That's the first question. The second question is, who have you sent me to, God? So, I'm kind of just jumped into this a little bit, but I don't want to keep us long today. It's snowing outside, and I don't want people to freak out, and us Washingtonians don't know how to drive in the snow, you know? But, Dennis and Randy, would you come up here just for a sec? I'm going to show off on you two. They don't like this kind of thing. Dennis is glaring, giving me the killer look right now. But this couple to me is a pretty big deal. You don't get any choices. This would not be what they would choose to do. But this couple, last year, I bet you not even a third of you know the stuff they went through last year. And you would never know it by how they are. They faced things dying constantly last year. They faced career changes. They faced getting jobs maybe they didn't want to. Bosses that were not so nice. They faced all kinds of things. I don't want to say all of them, but they faced things that I know. Maybe even one of you, maybe you, some of you are just facing one of those things. When you see this couple, do you think they're sad? No. If you know anything about this couple, they're probably one of those happiest couples I've ever met. That's because they're looking through the right perception. And they have an anointing for it. But, and it's not easy, is it? But it is if you embrace love. If you embrace, their most important thing to these two is relationship. I know that without a doubt. The most important thing to them, Their marriage relationship is phenomenal. So, I mean, it was kind of intimidating when they're in the Lamb class and they're always happy and we're all talking about our stuff. And they're like, ah!
Well, we got stuff.
But how they approach it, they are absolutely one of the most phenomenal things. I want this all over the place. I want what these two are all over the place. And I know without a doubt that God is doing some things for you too. That there's a favor on you. Know you've heard this before, but there's a new favor coming on your life, like you've never experienced before. And God is saying, because you've kept the eyes through like my eyes, the favor is going to be phenomenal for both of you. And Dennis, I heard even God saying to you about how He says, I want to spend some father-son time with you. He goes, you know how to embrace me as daddy. You know how to hop up in my lap, which most men don't, but you know how to do that. God said, I want to spar with you this year. God says, I want to play with you and wrestle with you in ways that you've never experienced before because you've been so intimate with me. I've held back because I love that place, God says. And God's saying that I want to be one that you're going to cause other fatherless sons to know how to embrace me and to know how to wrestle with me. And God said, you haven't had to wrestle with me. I'm just going to wrestle with you. And it's not a wrestling like Jacob where you're fighting. It's a wrestling... You don't want to let go because you just want to be in my arms. It's a wrestling that is just fun. And you just don't want to let go. You don't want to be away from him. It's coming from a different place. Most sons wrestle to get. And he says, you make me so happy because you don't wrestle to get nothing. You don't even come to my lap to get anything. You just want to be with me. And from that place, it's going to change a bunch of people this year. And that's both of you. That's probably a testimony for both of you two. It's from that place. You don't go to him to get. You don't have friends to get. You just go because you want to be. You just want to be with God and you want to be with people. So, Father, I just bless these two. Oh. I know they don't like being up here, God, but I just want to acknowledge what these two children that you love so much. And, God, we just thank you that you let them even be in this family, God. We're so privileged to have them even here with us, God. And we just thank you, God, that you put them strategically in other people's lives too, God, to bless them. You've even got Randy in a job that blesses her, God, that if she gets to be around kids that don't know, may not even have any hope, God, she brings hope to them because you've done that in her. You brought hope to her. So we just thank you, God, that you've blessed this couple. We ask, Father, now that an anointing that is on this couple be duplicated 120 times, whatever, how many times you want to duplicate it throughout this place, throughout this city, God, that this anointing that's on their life to see things the way you see things be more than enough for the time that people are in right now. In Jesus' name. Oh. Amen?
Amen?
You like these people? I like them. Now I'm going to hear about it later. Perception's a huge deal. And I have to tell you, I see a lot of people struggling. I've been asking. I like to, especially at the beginning of the year, I like to look. I'm very strategic. I'm not very creative. Put me in front of a blank paper and I'm going to go, but if you put me in a bunch of pictures around, I might be able to come up with something that's around it because I think strategic. I don't think creative. I think, oh, this would be cool if you had this and this and this together. And that's just how I think. So one of my favorite things to do is look. I really like watching people. Someone else told me that recently. I really like to watch people. I really like to see where people are at in life. I'm a people studier. I'm actually more like a reality studier. I don't really like traveling because I like to go see things. I like to feel what people's reality is like. I like to feel it, literally. I like to put myself in people's shoes and feel, where are they coming from? That's my favorite thing to do. And this year I've been doing that because I'm asking God, what are you saying in 2012? And the one thing I notice, I'm watching people who are struggling. I go, God, show me why. Show me, help me to see why people struggle so much. And he goes, because they're focused on how do I fix this instead of who do I spend time with. He clearly showed me that. And then I showed them, then I, after I saw that, I started looking at the people who were happy. I go, man, that's where they're coming from. It's about relationship. Everything is about relationship. I heard God say something to the church in 2000, like it was the last prayer meeting of the year, I think. And I heard God say, I'm realigning your perspective to be one that comes in alignment with my perspective. This is a year becoming what I see, says the Father. And I really feel like that is what's going on right now. I know we said becoming what God sees. But my dad hit on a pretty big nugget during the conference of last year. He said, you know, the only way to become what God sees is to see what he sees. And I really feel like that's where we're being brought to this year. I'm going to give you a couple quotes. Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. That's Wayne Dyer. That's pretty cool. Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. Bill Johnson posted on Facebook yesterday, in the kingdom of God, a mustard seed is bigger than a mountain. One is mightier than 10,000, and the lowest place is the highest place of all. Adjust your perception until that becomes logical. That's pretty good. He said that yesterday, so I think it's in the air. I think God is adjusting how we see things. And I, you know, a lot of people, I keep hearing a lot of things about change the way we see things. There's all kinds of, I mean, I had like 8 videos I could have picked for this, because there's so many out there about changing the way you perceive things. Just to keep it light, I'm going to give you a little joke. This is a mother's shock. This is not exactly in tune. I couldn't find a really good joke that fit with what I was saying, but this works. A mother enters her daughter's bedroom and sees a letter on the wall of her bed. With the worst possible assumption, she reads it. With trembling hands, it is a great regret and sorrow that I'm telling you that I eloped with my new boyfriend. I found a real passion, and he's so nice. With all his piercings and tattoos and his big motorcycle. But it's not only, I guess I got the wrong word here, that mom, I'm pregnant. And Amid, I can't even say his name, said that we will be very happy in this trailer in the woods. He wants to have many more children with me, and that's one of my dreams. I've learned that marijuana doesn't hurt anyone, and we'll be growing it for us and his family. us and his friends, who are providing us with the cocaine and ecstasy we may want. God, this is horrible. In the meantime, I am not promoting this, by the way, okay, hold on. In the meantime, we'll pray for the science to find a cure for AIDS, for Ammon to get better. He deserves it. Don't worry, Mom, I'm 15 years old now, and I know how to take care of myself. Someday I'll visit you to know your grandchildren. Your daughter, Judith. Mom, P.S., Mom, it's not true. I'm at the neighbor's house. I just wanted to show you that there are worse things in the life than a report card. That's in my desk drawer. I thought that was pretty good. So once you've gone through that perspective change, you go, okay, a report card's not that bad. This kid's a genius. Next time I need advice on that, I think I'm going to do that same thing. See, I try to make it light. I told Danny, we were looking for something to keep it light, and Danny's like, I was like, you know how I always make fun of Danny when we're in the movie theater? She laughs when no one else laughs. And I'm laughing, and everybody else seems to be laughing, but when it comes to actually telling jokes, she knows what's funny. I don't know why that is, but anyways. One of the things I wanted to just share, life, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, I'm taking New Covenant Ministries right now, I'm taking that course, my dad's course again, and it's pretty eye-opening, actually. I'm enjoying I've been in it once, but I'm doing my homework this time. So I'm actually getting more out of it. What a concept, right? And New Covenant and Old Covenant. Old Covenant is cutting off the flesh. Getting rid of flesh. So it's all about rules so that you know what not to do. That's Old Covenant. New Covenant is coming alive in the Spirit. And I've been talking with some people about this, and we tend to look at even the New Covenant with Old Covenant eyes. What do I not do? And there's a story in the Bible. Moses, I've been looking at Moses a lot. And Moses, the children of Israel get set free. And Moses gets confronted with people's needs. They're overwhelming him. So he goes to his father-in-law for advice, who's a very wise man. And he says, you know, you need to have generals of this, this, and this, and help them out. This will help you get things done. And it worked, because principles work. So you can look at Old Covenant is principles. There are all kinds of principles in your life that actually work. If you jump off a cliff, you're going to fall down because of gravity. That's a principle. If you give, you get. That's actually a principle, and it actually works. There's laws of attraction. There's all kinds of things out there that are actually principles, and you can live your life by that. But when Moses and the children of Israel decided to live by that, God gave them the Ten Commandments. He goes, okay, you want to live by principle, I'll give you the ultimate principles. But I don't want to live by principle. I want my spirit to come alive. Because God says, I'm making a new law. I'm writing the law on your heart. When he said that, it's the story I told you. I'll say it again because some of you may have not heard it. But this lady was married to this guy who was not a very nice guy. On the wedding night, he comes to her with a list of expectations. Horrible. A list of all these expectations he expects of her. Do this, dishes done by this time, all just a bunch of garbage, okay? And he ends up dying of cancer. I don't know how long. It's 5 years later, something like that. I'm paraphrasing because I want to get through it. And then she marries this other guy who is just this incredible guy who actually loves her. And she's been married to him for a long time and goes finds this box in the attic and finds this list in the attic. And she, no matter how hard she tried when she was married to her first husband, could not check off everything. She tried and tried and tried. And she looked at that list and goes, I am doing every single one of those, not even trying. Because she's being really loved. So God's writing a law on your heart. Because it will look like the law if you're living from your heart the way you're supposed to be living. But you're not actually trying to make that happen. So even in our situations that we're facing right now in our lives, are we trying to make something happen? Are we trying to change things? Or are we living from the heart? It's so important to live from the heart. And we look at Jesus, I'm going to just give you a pre-warning to where we're going with this year a little bit. We're going to look at Jesus a lot this year. And we seem to think he came here to kill the flesh. That's not true. He came here to come alive by the Spirit. It just so looked like one of the important things he did was he killed the flesh. He took our sins for him. But that was kind of an after effect of what happens when you're in relationship with your Father. So this year, I'm just going to challenge you to look. We need to look at our lives right now, wherever we're at in life, and look at what is it you're facing. Is it struggle? Are you really having a fight right now? I know some areas of my life I'm having a real fight, and I can tell you right now, I know what I'm doing wrong. I'm looking at how do I fix this? What do I do to do this? What do I do to make this better? We've got to throw that list out. I know that means there's going to be holes in your life. Trust me, I know this. I do run the church, and there's lots of holes. I'm actually categorizing this for me and for the church. This next week is going to be a busy week for me. I am going to write down all the things in the church, all the areas I believe that God has called us to be. But then there's positions. There's practical things that have to be done to make that happen. And I'm going to write out lists of each position. I'm going to break it down as small as I can. And then maybe ask God what time frame. Would that be good on that 3 months commitment, 2 weeks commitment, whatever it is. And then I'm going to go down and say, what's the duties? And I'm going to do that through all the things I'm doing as well. I'm going to go through all the things I'm doing as a person in my own personal life and here at the church. And I'm going to write down everything I'm doing. And then I'm going to go, God, where do you want me to be living? And I know he wants me to be living in relationship. Now, there's still practical things that you have to do. You still got to brush your teeth. You still got to eat. I mean, think about it. If you didn't do anything, you're not going to live. So garbage still has to be taken out. All these things still have to happen, right? So those things cannot just not be done, but you can organize your life in a way where you've got things in the right priority, in the right perspective. So I'm doing that personally this next year, and I feel like that's a good thing for us. And if you feel like you're really fighting, and you can't tell why you're fighting, I want you to really look at things, because I think some of the stuff you're fighting is actually God. I think God does things. In my life, he's done it many times where I was fighting. I want to quit doing this. I want to quit doing that. Or I want to do this different. And really, he was trying to say, you know, just spend some time with me. And I fought. Or I'll just give you an example of what that looks like. A lot of men, when they come home after work, they're done. They're wasted. So they come home and they go to the TV to detach, or they go to the iPad to detach. Oops. They go to whatever it is. They go to do something to detach because they're just burnt out. I have to say, you're not really burnt out. You're more afraid of being in relationship when you're burnt out. Because there's some things in you you're afraid of letting out. Does that hit home at all? It hits home in me. So when you go home, you're more afraid to be vulnerable in that state, because I know I am, because I end up being negative when I'm burnt out. So I'm afraid to be able to be vulnerable in that moment because I'm going to hurt somebody. God wants to bring you to that place so he can deal with the source so that you can be full when you come home. Why do we save most of our energy for our customers more than our family. Right? Our family is the closest relationships we have. This year, we're starting this year off with marriages. I think that's an awesome God thing. Starting off this year with a parenting class. That's an awesome God thing. God is trying to bring us to this whole new level of relationships. And wherever your life is not focused on relationships, I really want us to look at that a little bit deep this year and go, okay, God, how do I fix that? I went all over the place. That's good, right? I'll just give you a couple little notes that I thought were going to help. I find it very interesting that what is important to people who have made millions and keep it, the most important to them, thing to them, is their relationships. I've done lots of studies on millionaires, and what is, most people say it's a mindset and all that stuff. That's true. It is a mindset. But the most invaluable thing to a millionaire, or a billionaire for that matter, is their relationships. Because if they lose everything, they still have relationships. They're going to gain again. That's part of the reason. That's not necessarily the best reasoning why, but that's still a reason. There's, even in the success world, a sign of success is actually relationships. Huh, that's interesting. I'm going to read the where's the questions go that I had. Okay. You were created with a built-in need for a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I can prove it. We're drawn to people who care. I've heard this phrase. I love it. It's the Kamink's. Jim Kamink says this phrase. He says, you know, people don't care about how much you know. They care about how much you care. It's beautiful. People really are drawn to you that you care. They don't care about how much you know. Drawn to people who are passionate. One of the best leaders out there is someone who's passionate. Because people are really drawn to passion. People are drawn to people who face something impossible and keep going. We even tend to like heroize people like that. That's why we like movies that face this crazy obstacle. I know I like war movie type stuff. And we face this crazy thing and they still kept going. Why is that? Tebow, there you go. There's this overwhelming urge in us. We really want to just grasp. We really grab into this relate. We want to relate to everything. So much so that we humanize everything around us, actually. We start to personalize objects, businesses, nature, animals. I mean, just look at Castaway. He had a ball. He was lonely on an island, so he had a ball he put a face on. And I can't remember what his... Wilson, that's right. I was like, I couldn't remember the name of what it was. So as humans, we always tend to humanize things. Even like there's all these cultures out there, the New Age culture and everything. Like even like you look at it and they actually try to make nature relatable. Because we actually want to relate to something. We're built in with a built-in need to relate to something. The problem is we're trying to fill it with all these things that aren't legit. The best way to fill that is to go relate to Him. It's harder because it's all done by faith, right? I don't know about you, but I actually haven't got to hear God by audible. It would be nice, but I haven't got to hear Him audible. I get just this overwhelming feelings, especially when I'm praying for people. I really get overwhelming feelings of what God feels for you. And so it actually takes a little bit of learning to figure out how to do this, because we're so used to listening with all our natural senses, we think that's the only way that God communicates. God communicates by spirit. When God communicates to you, something happens in your spirit. It comes alive. You get excited, or you get nervous as hell because you know you have to do something. Okay. I was going to say I can prove, like even in the business world, there's a buzz going around right now about business. Social media is a big deal. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, that's social media. And how fast that has become huge is like crazy how fast. Compared to TV, radio, all this other stuff, social media came past all the lines and so fast because I believe what people are crying out for a relationship. And I think it's even interesting, businesses are starting to approach, how do we make our businesses more personal? So one of my favorite authors on this kind of stuff, his name is Gary Vaynerchuk, I think I said it right. He's one of my favorite authors on this subject. And he talks about the thank you economy. He talks about, but his whole thing is basically, he goes, listen, he said a story once. He goes, I'm the guy who as a kid, he's a marketer at heart, he's saying, okay? And he goes, I'm the guy as a kid who unburied the plants in people's yards and sold them back their plants and planted them. Okay, that's who he was by nature. He goes, I have had to learn to be personal, and this is hard because I am not personal by nature. He's had to learn to be personal. And I think that's a sign of something God is doing in our lives. I think, and he's making businesses personal, because the one businesses you will be loyal to are the ones you feel it's personal. Bellingham's huge on this. Bellingham's all about local business. So people spend extra money just to make sure that it stays in here versus going out on the internet or whatever. That's a big deal in Bellingham. So if you're in the business world, you know this stuff already. And there's a lot of talk right now about how do we make our business more personal? Because we're dying to relate. We're dying to actually really have a real relationship. And Facebook is not going to cut it. It's great. I like it because it starts to show sides of you that I've not seen before, that it's kind of fun. And some not so fun. But but what I do like about it is that it opens the door, at least gets you so that when you do meet the person face to face, you got something to talk about. So you can get to the real issue. Because God wants to get to the core of who we really are. So I believe God's taking us through this journey of bringing us to a place where we relate to everybody. And I don't think there's any getting out of it. I really don't. I don't think it's a matter of, I think you're really, really, really going to hurt really bad if you don't get in relationship. I think you already are hurting pretty bad if you're not in relationship. This year we are destined to be together more than we have ever been together. There's going to be unity. We're working on getting home groups. We're working on all this other stuff. And what is the one thing right now, if you can think of things that you're facing right now, if you really look at the one thing that if I had an enemy and he was trying to hurt me, what would he be trying to stop? If you really look at what you're facing, you can tell he's trying to stop relationship. It's pretty, you can tell. And the reason you can see that, you might think it's just you. Well, I'm just insecure in this. Well, what does your insecurity cause? You not to be relatable to people. Right? So you can look at it, there's all kinds of ways, but God is doing something in us. And I think there's some secrets. So I'm going to close here real quick. Lance Wallnau gave a prophecy for 2012. I'm usually not into big time going to all everybody's prophecies all over the place because I want to be specific to what God's saying to us, but I believe this is very significant. Lance says he was on, I don't know what date it was, but he was asking God about 2012, and his room number was 1212. I think, oh, that's interesting. And he goes, I had a feeling that God was going to talk to me at 1212 a.m. And he did. And he said, the Lord says, I got 12 words for you. This year, you need to make the Holy Spirit your best friend. That hits home. I like it a lot. Come on, it's good. This year, the Holy Spirit... Or you need to make Holy Spirit your best friend. I think that's huge. He also suggested, here's a suggestion, ask God to show you people you need to cultivate more of relationship in 2012. Perhaps there will be 12 names in particular that will come up most important. I think that's pretty good. I think that's a pretty good assignment. That might not be a bad idea. Actually, no people have done that already. Relationship is everything, you guys. I know it. I feel it in my gut. I know it. And I'm telling you right now, the one thing that have been challenging me is, I don't know about you, but I've always done this weird thing. I'm going to be open. I was just sharing with Mike. I've always done this weird thing in my brain where I've always had one person that seems to be the enemy in my head. And usually it used to be a boss. Well, now there is nobody else to blame. So, no one else has done this, right? No one has ever had someone that just really brings agitation in your life. And usually it's not, what I've come to find out is it's not that I really am annoyed by this person's personality. I thought it was. But the more I look at it, it's actually, there's something in me that's agitated by this person. Something in me is the key word. Wow, I feel that one in the room. Oh my God, my pastor has something in him. Okay. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. I would hope that you would return the favor and be honest with me. But what I'm realizing is that God wants all our junk to come to the surface. And Eric Johnson did a message last week about community, and he said, you know, God doesn't create junk. So that's two ways. You're not junk, and I'm not junk. That's right. That's right. God created something that he is actually proud of that he made. And it's your neighbor, and it's you. That's right. It's your wife, and it's you. It's your husband, and it's you. He likes you. He had an idea and he thought, you know, that would be a great idea. And here you are. He's actually happy at what he made. He is proud of it. So I believe with all my heart that sometimes the enemy comes with our thoughts. He tries to bombard our thoughts. So lately I've had these thoughts of, oh, this person wronged you. And I've sensed some things try to come up. I'm like, no, all the time lately. I'm not letting it. It's just like the enemy's, my dad calls it, he's chumming. He's putting the bait in front of you so you see if you'll grab it. I'm not letting him bite it. I'm not biting it, but it's weird. I've had a lot of thoughts. Okay, this person must not like you, or this must be happening to you because this person really is trying out to get you. Yeah, right. Are you kidding me? But now it's easy to see that when you're away, buddy. When you're in a moment and you're hurting, when you're actually feeling pain, it's really easy to grab that. Right? So how many times have you been hurt? And it's really, right now, God is really, it's a good thing. God's bringing things to the surface. The only way darkness becomes light is if it gets exposed. And if we're children of light, like the Bible says we are, and I believe we are, then darkness needs to get exposed. And what better place than this place? So in closing, I want to put up a picture of Bill Johnson said he wants to put a sign, we should put a sign in the church that says, welcome home. I want to do that. So I really want to do that. And then I had this picture already on my thing preparing to, I want someone to make this a picture like this for the church, and not exactly what it says, but mostly what it says. In this house, we do second chances. We do grace. We do real. We do mistakes. We do I'm sorry. We do really loud, or loud really well. We do hugs. We do family, and we do love. Now that's almost right. It's almost perfect. But that essence, I wanted to say, in this place, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, I like that.
I wanted to say, I want so bad this to be a safe place. Now I'm going to just really, this is the last thing I'm going to say. People are being attacked right now. I keep hearing people say, you know, I don't feel like I belong. I'm really lonely. Oh, I'm going to... God did something to me at the beginning of the year. He made it so that I didn't feel as much, which I liked. Because if you know me, I have a very compassionate heart. I don't compare to my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law has the most compassionate heart I've ever seen in my life. But I feel what people are feeling. And it's torture. And God let me not feel for a while. But 2 or 3 weeks ago, God turned it up like I've never felt it before in my life. I can go in a room and I can feel where everybody's struggling. I can feel their pain. I can feel where they don't belong. I can feel what they're feeling lonely. I can feel all this stuff. And everybody, the problem is everybody thinks that I'm the answer. Because they're coming to me. I am not your answer. And I might be able to help guide you, but that's not my job. My job is to create an atmosphere that's safe for you. Because guess what? There's 18 people over here that are lonely, and there's 18 people over here that are lonely. If you guys would just see each other, they would fix the problem. I'm just being honest, and I can see it so clear now. And it's not, I don't know why God's letting me feel it. I know it's a good thing. And I know it's a good thing that He didn't let me feel it, too. Because He was able to let me stand up because it didn't hurt quite as bad. Now it's turned it up a notch, and I'm going, God. And you know what? Some people, I have the ability to ease your pain, and God will not let me. It's absolutely killing me. Because God is more about your relationship than it's about your destiny. Does that make sense? Your relationship is your destiny. Like the thing about the treasure, that there's the scripture about a treasure. It said that this Jesus was telling a parable, and he said this man found a treasure, buried it in a field, and sold everything he had to get that treasure. The treasure is not the point. The point is he sold everything he had to get it. What kind of man is this? He sold everything for what God has for you. The point is, God is we think that once I have enough money, my health is perfect, and all my relationships are good, I'll be fine. That's not the point. The point is, who are you? The point of everything God is doing is that He's trying to define who you are. I believe this year, we've got some phrases we're throwing out there. I'm going to throw them out right now because I think this is huge. I think we're going to call the conference Limitless. So it was not fixed yet, but I think that's what we're going to call it. And the phrase underneath is revealing the real you. Because who are you? That's a good question to ask. Is who you are what you do? Absolutely not. You'll do what you do because of who you are.
Yep, that's good.
That's not what you... Who you are is not what you do. Okay? So God's doing something, revealing the secret you. I'm not sure what it is. I threw it out there because I know next week's going to be big. My dad won't listen to any of my messages. He won't hear any prophecies right now. He's getting downloads right from God, and he came up with the word limitless. So I know something next week's going to be a big deal. And I also know this year that I've been coming up with phrases. What do you want to say from abundant life, God? What is abundant life? And I really want to say, welcome home. You can belong here. Yeah. I have this little thing I've been playing around with. What I want to say? What would I want to say to people who come here? Side effects include moving forward.
Yeah.
Being understanding the Father's love for you. Courage. What did I say? Confidence. Confidence in who you are. And finding your place of favor. That's what I want to tell people. And I feel like that's what we're supposed to be saying to people. But you know what? I can't be alone in this. We need some Dennis and Randy's in this place. We need some places that are actually constantly doing that. And there's a lot of you that are doing that. I'm just saying it's a whole new level. And if you're having a hard time doing that because you don't think you're ready, because I'm not ready. You're not ready. Do it anyway, please, because your healing is actually in you helping others get healed. You're not the one that's healing them, but you actually taking that role and going there towards them, even though you know you darn well your love is, as I said last week, thanks to a friend of mine, your love is crap on your own. But when you have his love, you just go there. You know that he loves you, and you know what? I know on my own I can't fix this, but I'm going there anyways. Yep. So when you know you're lonely, and you think the only way you can make people not feel lonely is when you're not lonely? Not true. Now is the best time in the world for you to help people not feel lonely. If you don't feel like you belong, look around the room. There's a lot of people who don't feel like they belong. Go help them belong. Mm-hmm. That'll bring so much more healing to you than you've ever felt before in your life. Because you think you're trying to go, what do I got to do to make me belong? No. Who am I called to help belong? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's what I feel this year is about. So I put that sign up there because I want someone that would maybe want to put, I want it maybe in the foyer, I'm not sure where I want it. And then these banners up here, I would hope that we get to put something that says, welcome home. Yes, God speaks, life happens, I totally agree with it. It's very appropriate, we might use them to other things, but I want to say welcome home. Because I really believe with all my heart that that's what God is saying to us. Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. It's good. All right. And by the way, this is one last side note, I'm done here. God likes to use people you don't like to talk to you. He seems to do that a lot. So maybe it's your boss, maybe it's me, maybe it's whatever it is, God will use, not always, but I seem to more err on the always part than not. He likes to use people you don't like. You know why? Because it's about relationship. And he wants you to get over your little struggles of not accepting people. Just a side note. Anyways, connection cards. If you would fill out your connection cards, we have a basket in back. We're going to make that a little bit more accessible. But if this is your first time here, this is a good time to fill out these cards. If not your first time here, it's a good time to fill out these cards. On the back of it, there's a couple things. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not about what not to do. He was about who to be. And to follow him, you just got to believe that he's the real deal. And that first off, we don't deserve to anything we get from him. But he gives us all this wonderful things. We don't deserve the love he gives us. We don't deserve the grace that he's given us. We don't deserve even the friends that we have. We don't deserve any of that. God just chose to give that to us. If I acknowledge that I don't deserve that stuff and I realize he's real, you're on the journey to following Jesus Christ. There's not a magic prayer you can pray. It'd be a good idea to pray. And prayer doesn't have to be, thus says God. You don't have to be religious about it. Just talk to him. He would rather you be real than what the religion says to be anyways. I'm so sick of religion. And I know that word is not religion. I'm sick of rules and regulations. I'm sick of legalism. I'm sick of man's attempt to create God. That's what I think religion is. Okay? I know the religion, the word itself, is not a bad meaning, but man's attempt to identify what God is just a joke. Because I can never understand him. So, second thing I want you to do, join a life group. If you're feeling disconnected, now is the time to connect. And then, you know, there's some life groups I really wish we had. We don't have anybody to run them. We have a major cry for singles and there's youth stuff and especially singles, 20-somethings, like college age. There's nothing going on here for them. We had fun days, and now one of them became unsingle, and he's Twitter-pated. So that's gone, kind of gone. And so if you feel led, if you feel like, you know, I wish I had something to go to that was for my age, and you don't feel like there's anything, come see me. Because you're probably seeing that because maybe you have something to do about it. You can help about it. It's a big deal in this city. The college age is always lonely. That's why they go party. They think that fills it, but that's not filling it. It's not filling the real need. So there needs to be something in the city that is genuine, real relationship stuff happening. This is an announcement. I guess I forgot I had that on there. This Tuesday night, we're doing a thing on I've been thinking outside the box for the church. I'm a business guy. I can't help it. And things aren't going to be the same the way they were. We're looking ways to get funding. For a couple weeks there, we were asking, hey, we would like to give towards these certain things. And really, people are stretched really thin. And because you guys are giving to so much wonderful things. You're giving to people that need help. And I love how our church is really giving church. We are a phenomenal church at giving. We give our money. We give our time. So I believe that God's going to do some awesome things for you this year where you're going to have more than enough to give. I'm pulling that in. Come on, God. I have a way to benefit you for some benefits. I got a cell phone deal where I've got my cell phone is super cheap because I signed up for this benefits thing. It's a people's ministry, it's called, and we're going to share about it on Tuesday night. And if we get like 100 people to come see this, it's free, there's no cost. I can't explain what it is because I'm not allowed to. He's allowed to share it. So it's nothing illegal or anything weird. You don't have to worry about anything. I've looked into it a lot. It's actually really, really awesome. Churches trying to help churches and trying to help people, and they've come up with a really cool way to do it. So it's going to bring funding to our church just for you signing up for something for free. So why not come see what it is? And it's going to be an awesome thing. I believe God's doing some shifts like that. He's bringing, what can you do different? How can you spend different? How can you do all that kind of stuff? So just come see what it's about, and then you can come throw your stones at me later, okay? And then I want you to do this week. It would be really good. I'm doing it this week. Identify what areas in your life I need to change my perception. Look at your life and see where am I seeing things off? How come I can't see in this area? If it's an area in your life where it's really hard to see clear, that's a good indication of where to look. So today would be a good day. Just make a little note to yourself to what can I do to do that, to change that. So let's stand up real quick. And the most important thing we need to do this week is invite Holy Spirit in our week. I'd like you to invite friends in your week this week, but the most important thing you can do is invite Holy Spirit in your house. So we're going to do that right now. So why don't you grab someone's hand next to you? We should be in unity as much as we can. Father, we just thank you, Father, that you are such a good daddy. And God, you sent us a helper. You sent Holy Spirit to us to be one that we have an open communication with you. And Father, we just ask right now that you help us to include Holy Spirit in our daily life. Holy Spirit, we just call on you. We say, brood over the areas in our lives that are desolate. Brood over the areas of our lives that are not have life in there. And speak life to us. Speak the life that the Father wants to speak to us. And Holy Spirit, we just give you permission now to cause our spirit to come alive. We want to live from the heart, God, not from a place that we have to live by rules and regulations. We want to live from our heart, God. And we're really good at doing what we want to do. So God, help us want what you want. Help us want what you want, God. And if we can't believe for good things to help us in our unbelief. Lord, help in the areas where I don't believe. Help us believe. God, at least we can pray for that, God. So we just call on you now. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come have your way this week. Let us have lots of encounters with you this week. Let us have moments with our spouses and with our friends that bring us so close to you and close to each other. We invite you in our everyday life. In Jesus' name.